WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yo, 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 what is up, beautiful people? Yes, we are back at it on this Monday, June 15th, 2015. Oh boy, it is glad. I'm glad to be back in the saddle, actually. The weekend is done. Yeah, definitely wish it was a little bit longer, but hey, don't we wish every weekend to be like that? But we are back at it today, folks. We've got a great show in store for you all, as I will be chatting with Matt Charbonneau of the Detroit News. He's a sports reporter for the Detroit News. He's actually one of the reporters, or actually the reporter who broke the story concerning the Michigan State softball team, as head coach Jackie Joseph is being accused of intentionally hitting one of her players during batting practice. We'll dive into that story and discuss the details. You don't want to miss that chat. We'll also, of course, chat about the NBA Finals as the Golden State Warriors now have a 3-2 series lead over the Cavs. They are one win away from hosting the big, big trophy that everyone vies for in the NBA throughout the regular season. You don't want to miss that discussion as well. We'll also have weekend winners for you, chat about the Detroit Tigers, all of that while also taking your calls, 517-355-9527. But hey, let's start this, baby, like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners again for this June 15th. All right, let's start with Jackson Lumen Christie. Saturday in the MHSAA Division III state championship game, Buchanan lost to Jackson Lumen Christie 8-0. Lumen Christie took a 6-0 lead in the first inning, getting the party started early on Saturday and never gave Buchanan a glimmer of hope for the next 2 hours. The Titans finished with 15 hits to the Bucks 4 and had 0 errors to their 3. How about that? Big salute goes out to Jackson Lumen Christie's baseball team. Quite the accomplishment. All right, Ann Arbor Skyline wide receiver Hunter Rison, son of Spartan standout Andre Rison, announced his verbal pledge to Michigan State Saturday afternoon for the class of 2017. The 5'11", 183-pound wideout received an offer from the Spartans in April and was in East Lansing Saturday for Michigan State's camp. Now, he held additional offers from Akron, Arizona State, and CMU, according to 247 Sports. How about that, though? Congrats to Hunter Rison, continuing the lineage that his father set back in the day. All right, MSU football coach Mark D'Antonio, he served as the grand marshal at the Quicken Loans 400 at Michigan International Speedway. Stuart Haas Racing's Kurt Busch won the race. NASCAR actually called the race because of foul weather at 138 laps of a scheduled 200 a little after 6 p.m., Busch was leading Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Martin Truex Jr., but man, oh man, was it just pouring down during that race yesterday. So, but hey, how about that? Cool stuff, though. Coach D, Grand Marshal, pretty cool stuff. We'll bring the visual of that moment to you on this week's Current Sports TV. All right, folks, in our final collegiate race, Michigan State track and field senior Leah O'Connor broke her own school record in the 3,000-meter steeplechase, finishing third to highlight the day of the NCAA championships at historic Hayward Field in Eugene, Oregon. Now, O'Connor finished third with a school record time of 9:33.38, breaking her record set at the East Lansing preliminary round of 9:35.33. Now, fellow senior Toy Franklin, who we had on the show last month, had a stellar final NCAA championship, finishing fifth in the triple jump with a mark of 13:38. It was her third jump that put her on the medal stand. Franklin is now a 7-time All-American during her tenure at Michigan State. A police investigation stemming from allegations by a former Michigan State softball player against two of her coaches has been turned over to prosecutors in two separate counties. Now, Michigan State is also in the middle of its own internal investigation based on claims by Alyssa McBride that assistant coach Jessica Bo Krakus twice intentionally hit her with pitches during batting practice late this year and did so with the consent of head coach Jackie Joseph. We will be chatting with Matt Charbonneau of the Detroit News, who has been following this story from the jump. You don't want to miss that chat. All right, the Cedar Rapids Colonels combined for 6 runs in the 7th and 8th to jolt the Lansing Lugnuts 8-3 on Sunday at Perfect Game Field. The Lugnuts' next homestand runs from tomorrow, June 16th, to the 21st, featuring 3-game series against the Bowling Green and Great Lakes, closing out the first half of the season. Miguel Cabrera beat the Indians pitching again, allowing Alfredo Simon to beat Cleveland for the third time this year, allowing the Tigers to take the rubber match of the 3-game series with an 8-1 victory on Sunday afternoon at Comerica Park, despite Francisco Lindor's first major league hit. Now, Cabrera collected 3 hits, including a homer. J.D. Martinez hit a 3-run shot, and Detroit added a 3-run 8th. And last but not least, Steph Curry made 7 3-pointers and scored 37 points in the Warriors. Withstood another brilliant performance from LeBron James to outlast the Cleveland Cavaliers 104-91 on Sunday night for a 3-2 lead in the NBA Finals. The Warriors were tried to win their first NBA title since 1975 on Tuesday night in Cleveland, which hasn't won a major sports championship in 51 years. Game 7, if necessary, would be in Oakland on Friday night. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of those, our phone lines are open. Pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Without further ado, it is about that time to start the show.
Steps back. Ha-ha! Stephen Curry with some magic. Curry looking for that opening. Steps back. Crossover. Fires away. Wow! Another three from Curry.
You feel a lot less pressure this finals run just because you are undermanned. You had some injuries as opposed to previous years.
Nah. I feel confident because I'm the best player in the world. Simple.
Yo, 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 what is up, beautiful people? I am your host, Al Martin, and you are listening to Current Sports on this fantastic Monday. Hey, hopefully you're having a great Monday to start the work week. Great weekend, I tell you that. Tuned into, of course, the NBA Finals last night. And as you just heard, LeBron James is catching a lot of flack from a lot of people out there due to those very comments. I'm the best player in the world. I'm the best in the world. That's what LeBron James had to say after last night's loss, in which Golden State now has corralled a 3-2 series lead. They are now 1 game away from a championship. Again, their first title. This could be their first title since 1975. Folks, that is a long time. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Of course, later on in the show, you do not want to miss our chat with Matt Charbonneau of the Detroit News because, man, this is a sticky story. An icky, sticky story right now. And as I always state, whenever we talk about topics like this, where there is an investigation going on or accusations of legality, I always say, okay, let's pump the brakes right now. Let's pump the brakes because we live in a country where you are innocent until proven guilty. So I want to temper that conversation and today's dialogue concerning Michigan State head softball coach Jackie Joseph and the allegations, as you just heard, Alyssa McBride, who is now no longer a part of the softball team. She has graduated and has started her life away from Michigan State. But she felt the need to get this off of her chest. And, you know, this story actually broke. And I actually saw this right before, right after I got off the air during Friday's Current Sports Show. I got a text from a friend of mine saying, hey, Al, did you check this out? And I actually got the text around like 11:50-something. But I ignored my phone all the way up until showtime on Friday. And afterwards, I clicked the link, and it was a story from Matt Charbonneau of the Detroit News. A pretty detailed story, of course, taking us through the timeline of what Alyssa McBride has now accused head coach Jackie Joseph of doing. And that allegation, of course, is that Alyssa is saying that Jackie Joseph gave the orders to her assistant coach, Jessica Bograkis, to intentionally hit Alyssa based on some comments that Alyssa had made about the Michigan State softball team. Now, we're going to get into the details. I tweeted out the link to the article. It's also on my Facebook page as well. If you haven't read about it and really looked at the details of what Alyssa is saying has went down. Now, on the contrary, I always say there are two sides to every story, okay? My grandmother used to say there are always two sides to every story. It's his side, her side, or it could be another guy's side. And then there's the truth, okay? So we're definitely going to get to the bottom of this as the days go by and as the investigations come to a conclusion. And, you better believe that the details will come out about, this story. But to issue, everyone's wondering whether or not Michigan State softball coach Jackie Joseph has had anything to say about these allegations. And she actually released a statement today, actually this morning, by her attorney, Shirley M. Bobrick of Okemos. Joseph said she has never done anything to harm any of her players. She says, quote, I have devoted my past 22 years at Michigan State as the head softball coach to guiding and mentoring student athletes in the type of ideals, values, and skills necessary to achieve success on the field, in their careers, and throughout their lives. During this time, I have never said or done anything to harm any of the student athletes who have been entrusted to me. In fact, I have done everything in my power to increase public respect for this great university and to increase the well-justified pride of the Spartan Nation. Now, this is an article coming from MLive.com, written by MLive's own Kyle Austin. Joseph also notes that she cooperated fully with investigators from the Michigan State Police and Campus Police and thanked fellow coaches and former players who she said have reached out to her since the allegations have surfaced. Now, we've had Jackie on the show. I have had nothing but good things to say about Jackie. She has always been willing to come on and talk about her squad and to promote the Michigan State University with pride. We've also even had Jessica on the show. Of course, Jessica Bograkis was enshrined into the Greater Lansing Sports Hall of Fame not too long ago. I went down there, got a chance to meet Jessica in person. She's also the wife of former Michigan State men's basketball player Tim Bograkis, who's a great guy. Tim has been on the show multiple times. So I've had nothing but great things to say about those two. I'm not going to jump the gun and give any thoughts and or opinions on this story because we have yet to hear the details on both sides. We've heard one side, in detail concerning Alyssa McBride's allegations. Jackie has come out and denied and said that she has never done anything to harm any of her players. So we've got a back and forth going here, and we honestly need more details. But I will say, if this is true, folks, boy, it won't look good. It won't look good. And I fully expect Mark Collis and the university to deal with it as expected. But again, this could be a player just blowing some steam off who had an unpleasant experience here at Michigan State and just going beyond and all out to make sure that Jackie's time, the rest of her time here at Michigan State, is not fulfilled, if you will. So, again, we'll be chatting with Matt Charbonneau as he will give the details as to his article and who he talked to, what they had to say, the demeanor in which they said it, all of that and so much more, folks. Again, that number to call is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Before I move any further in the show, I've got to welcome our current sports radio engineer who is back from vacay after taking 2 weeks off. Of course, he went back home to New Orleans. I'm sure had a great time with the fam. He was also, I believe, in the British Virgin Islands, I think.
Yes,
he was everywhere. But Isaac Constance is back behind the glass. How you doing, Isaac?
I'm doing well, Al. It actually feels good to be back, you know? I mean, like you said, it's nice being in the studio.
It is. You know, I always say, man, I don't know, I'm a workaholic, so anytime I'm away from the studio for too long, man, or away from work, period, I kind of feel unproductive. So it's like, okay, let me get back at it. Even when I took the week off prior to last week, I took a week off, and I'm sitting there like when Friday and Saturday hit, like, okay, I am ready to get back to work. So, but how was your time, man? You went back to New Orleans, then the British Virgin Islands. How was that, my man?
It was great, you know, perfect weather in the British Virgin Islands. I'm not sure if you've been to one of those Caribbean places before.
Yeah, well, actually, a lot of people don't know this, but my mom, I'm half Indian. My mom is born and raised in Trinidad and Tobago. She moved here when she was 19 years old, so Trinidad is a part of the Caribbean. And I tell you what, I haven't been there since I was probably about like 6 or 7 years old, but from my vague memories of how it is down there, it was absolutely gorgeous, but scorching hot, I will say that.
Yeah, well, it actually wasn't that hot, but gosh, it was beautiful. We went snorkeling, scuba diving, saw these just amazing fish there, you know, so florid in color. But
right.
It's also, you know, it's disturbing to see the disparity between the rich and the poor there as well, because you forget that these places are tourist attractions, and there's a lot of work that goes into, you know, making the place an experience for you, and you can see the underside of that as well.
So you actually went into the city as well to just to see how people who live there live.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool stuff, Isaac. That's great. Did you take a lot of pictures?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'll show you some after.
Yeah, we got a powwow after, man. Because that's when you texted me and said you were in the British Virgin Islands, I'm sitting there like, oh my goodness, I'm jealous right now. Great stuff though, my man. Well, glad to have you back. Again, big shout out to Drew Henderson and Drew Hill who held it down last week. But we are glad to have you back behind the glass, Isaac. All right, well, let's dive into our first topic of discussion before we get to today's guest, and that, of course, concerns the NBA Finals, which are now tied. They're not tied anymore. The tie is broken now, excuse me. Cleveland Cavaliers, they fell to the Golden State Warriors last night. The series is now 3-2. Golden State has one more game to win before they can call themselves the 2015 NBA champs. Now, there is one man, of course, that is still fighting, you know, tooth and nail, LeBron James, who I do believe is the best player on the planet. I don't even think that's debatable, but LeBron is catching a lot of flack for, again, if you haven't heard these comments that we played in the montage, here it is once again.
You feel a lot less pressure this finals run just because you are undermanned and you had some injuries as opposed to previous years?
Nah, I feel confident because I'm the best player in the world. That's simple.
Yeah, there you have it. LeBron James catching a lot of flack for those very words. I am the best player in the world. First off, Isaac, I gotta say, I don't know why people are tripping about this. I have no idea. LeBron James is basically said what everyone, at least what educated basketball fans and educated basketball minds, speaking from an unbiased perspective, already believe and already know. LeBron James is the best basketball player in the world, bar none. Hands down. Nobody else is even close, okay? And we saw last night, yeah, Steph Curry, he's a very good player. He was named the NBA's most valuable player. He can do a lot of things. But let's be real here. Isaac, if you've looked at Steph Curry throughout the playoffs, he's had moments where he has gone ghost. If he is not hitting that jump shot, Steph Curry struggles to find a rhythm. LeBron James throughout this entire NBA Finals, which is the creme de la creme of basketball, this is basketball's biggest stage. LeBron James has shown up every single game and has single-handedly led this team. He is showing why he is the best in the world. And the reason why I think a lot of people have a problem with this, Isaac, is because when you come off and you say something like that, I am the best player in the world, it comes off as cocky and arrogant. That is the only reason why LeBron James is catching a lot of flack. Again, LeBron James' voice, what everyone already knows. But, you know, Michael was the same way. I mean, Michael had this swag and confidence that he knew he was the best player on the planet. Mike just never came out and said it. Same thing, the type of swag that Kobe Bryant had. The same type of swag that I'm sure, you know, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson had. When you are good at something, you know you are good. LeBron James knows he's the best on the planet. A lot of people just have a problem because I guess that's some taboo thing where you're not supposed to say that. I had no problem with it. I, for one, being a journalist, I like when athletes or coaches or fans alike are just completely honest. Just completely honest and keep it real. I don't know why LeBron is catching a lot of flack, but I do understand it from a perspective as, okay, he kind of comes off as high on his own horse. Isaac.
Yeah, but, you know, we talk about Jordan and Kobe. Those dudes, well, just listen to Jordan's quote over the weekend saying he could beat some current Bobcats players. That's a lot more cocky and arrogant with a lot less substance than what LeBron said. He is the best player in the game. He's got 2 triple-doubles this finals. He's got, last night, 40 points, 14 rebounds, 11 assists. And we're talking about Steph Curry. Yeah, that was a great matchup between the two last night. But LeBron outdid him. LeBron had 40 points, 14 rebounds, 11 assists, while Curry had 30.7 rebounds, 4 assists. Those aren't comparable. Yeah, Curry's got a better team, but this is the best player in the world who's convincing me that he's a top 3 player of all time.
Yeah, I it's hard to argue with that. You can certainly make an argument for that because, again, you know, and you of course didn't tune in last week, Isaac, but we were just kind of chatting about, you know, LeBron James and the perception, you know, of what he's doing in this year's NBA Finals. And I've always said, I mean, when looking at what he's doing, no other great has done this. I mean, LeBron James is virtually doing this single-handedly. And you know, it always say it took the Warriors 4 games to try and figure out how in the world do you stop this freight train. And at one point, Cleveland did have a 2-1 series lead. I mean, not many players can do that, or not many players have done that in NBA history. Now, let's get to the series at hand. I gotta say, you know, LeBron James needs help, folks. Desperately needs help. I mean, right now, you know, first off, 3 guys who in the previous game had definitely showed up at least, J.R. Smith, Timofey Mozgov, and Matthew Dellavedova had beautiful games in Game 4 to tie the series. J.R. Smith last night, he finished with 14 points, and usually when J.R. Smith comes off the bench and scores in double-digit scoring, usually the Cavs win. But this is the problem about last night. Even though he had 14 points, even though he had put up that amount of points, he didn't have a bucket in the second half. That can't happen. That cannot happen, folks. And how about Timofey Mozgov, who is a complete man down low? 28 points in the previous game. Guess how much points he threw up last night, folks? None. A donut. Matthew Dellavedova. We all know that he has become one of the most intriguing storylines in this year's NBA Finals, heck, throughout even the entire NBA playoffs. He threw up 5 points last night. LeBron James, as you just stated, Isaac, I mean, a triple-double for him last night. But, you know, with the second leading scorer was Tristan Thompson. He had 19 points, and it's like, where was everybody else? LeBron James can only do so much. Basketball isn't golf. It isn't tennis where one man can win by himself. He needs his teammates to show up, and they simply did not last night. And the amount of wear and tear that LeBron James is going through right now, I mean, I can pretty much imagine. I'm sure just about, you know, after every single game that he's played, he's had to soak in an ice bath. Looking at the minutes, he had 45 minutes. Played 45 minutes last night. 41 minutes the game before. We know the game before when he, you know, he fell on the ground and got hit with the camera. I mean, he just looked completely exhausted. I don't think I've seen LeBron James ever look that way. even his teammates, they were exhausted as well. I mean, when you're having to play with a limited roster, those minutes go through the roof. And with everything that LeBron James does, I don't know how he's doing it, because he not only scores, but he gets his teammates involved. He's a presence on the boards. LeBron James does it all and exerts so much energy. I don't even know how the man is still walking right now. He's a freak of nature. But he needs help if you are going to beat the Golden State Warriors, a team that is so deep in how they have two sharpshooters that can get hot at any moment. It's a tall order, a very tall order. And I don't know. I think Golden State, I mean, this is their trophy to lose at this point, Isaac.
Oh, with no doubt. And the other thing about LeBron, you look at it, I mean, he's doing this. He's not being guarded by J.R. Smith.
Mm-hmm.
He's not being guarded by, I don't know, some other horrible defender. But he's being guarded by Andre Iguodala.
Right.
An all-defensive caliber player. And then they've also got Harrison Barnes, who's got amazing length. Not a great defender. But Draymond Green, the, you know, defensive player of the year, runner-up. Then Andrew Bogut in the center. And of course, he's played less minutes recently. But still, I mean, those are some tough competition for LeBron, and he's dealing with it so well. If Cleveland pulls this out, this might be the greatest finals performance of all time in my book.
I won't go that far. I won't go that far because I think you can legitimately make some arguments. I mean, because I think looking at what LeBron James has done in this year's NBA Finals, sure, Isaac, I definitely agree. It is one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen, because LeBron is virtually doing this by himself. But also, I'll always go back, looking at back in the day, I mean, the competition that there was and the way, it's hard to compare eras. I know, I get it. It is hard. We can have this debate all day. But looking at the amount of Hall of Famers that, you know, guys like Michael and Magic and Larry and even Wilt and Bill had to go through to get to an NBA Finals, and let alone dominate one. You can make the argument on the flip side, because again, when you talk about Mike, he had to go through guys like the Bad Boys, Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars, Adrian Dantley. He really struggled against the Pistons for many, many years. Then looking at the 90s, he had to go against one of the greatest power forwards of all time and Charles Barkley. I mean, we can bring up, you know, Gary Payton. I mean, how about the New York Knicks squads of the 90s? I mean, those were guys that were, many of them voted in the top 50 players of all time. LeBron James, certainly, he's going against guys like, what, you know, Steph Curry, who I think is going to be he's the greatest shooter of all time. But, you know, looking at the rest of the roster, Klay Thompson, don't get me wrong, great player, but I don't know if you could make a case for him being a 50 greatest player of all time. Definitely with Steph Curry. Andre Iguodala, great player, but I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer. You know what I mean? You talk about Hall of Famers. Those guys were going against Hall of Famers. Don't get me wrong. What LeBron James is doing is certainly, certainly formidable and unbelievable. But again, I think we have to pump the brakes. I think people are so quick to jump to an instant reaction from what they're seeing. Let's let it marinate for a minute. Let it soak in. Well, maybe we'll have this discussion later on at the tail end of the summer and come back and revisit that debate. Let's go to our phone lines right now. We actually have Jody from Canada on line one. Jody, how you doing, my man?
Hey, how you doing, Al? Maybe some rain between Dundas, Ontario, and East Lansing, because, you know, we hear the crackling sounds. But, you know, LeBron, hey, come on. He's playing with a couple former Knicks. You know, and Shumpert and J.R. Smith, who are Knicks, former Knicks for a reason, which was one of the worst teams in basketball.
Right.
You know, he has Tristan Thompson down there on the post, on the blocks with him, and they brought Mozgov in. But, you know, he's playing with guys who are not, I don't know, let's call it, you know, NBA Finals caliber guys. You know, so he's doing it, you know, with smoke and mirrors, really, and Cleveland just runs out of gas. You know, they have $9 million and Justin Perkins alone sitting on the bench, and, you know, Miller and Brendan Haywood and Sean Marion. In today's game, maybe you need to look at being able to go 9-10 deep. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, as you look at it, I guess they never expected Kyrie and Love to get injured, but they did make it to the finals with them. But, you know, I just see them running out of gas. And I try to tell all my Ohio friends, because I know where I'm from, Ohio, and that's all I hear, you know, is the Cavaliers all in and everything. But, you know, as you see it, you can see that it's not a great matchup for them, because of, you know, the fact that Golden State gets out and runs, and, you know, and Cleveland is, you know, give the ball to LeBron and try to slow it down. And the big thing, and I'm throwing a lot of things out there, is I'm just surprised that they don't bang Curry around. You know, he's kind of slight of stature, but maybe that's just today's game, too. They don't, you know, since they have so many cameras, you can't see those extra bumps and all those things, and, you know, the referees will call flagrants on you. But somewhere you have to bump him.
Right,
because
right.
you can't allow Bambi to run free through the woods.
I like that analogy, and that's very true. I totally agree with you, Jody. And I think that when you look at Steph Curry's game and looking at the position that he's in, he's playing for the Golden State Warriors, which again are much deeper than the Cleveland Cavaliers are, as you just stated. I mean, Cleveland's offense is basically get the ball to LeBron James and let him create and do what he does. LeBron can't take possessions off. Steph Curry has the luxury of having a Draymond Green, a Klay Thompson, heck, even an Andre Iguodala, who I think has been the most consistent player for the Golden State Warriors in this year's finals. He has the luxury of playing with those individuals where if his shot isn't hitting to begin with, he can find his rhythm by just being patient and letting the game come to him. LeBron James has to be on from jump start or Cleveland is in trouble, point blank period.
Yeah, you know, because one thing, you know, I noticed too, and I wondered why they were doing it, because, you know, it's early in the season, you know, they had Bogut trailing so much, and it's like, why you got a big fella slowing the offense down, and then the Golden State went to Iguodala as their fifth starter and brought David Lee from deep in the bench. I mean, look at that. You can bring a guy who's, what, 31, 32, who still has legs, who was a third-team All-NBA player and was their leading rebounder last year, you got him buried deep in the bench.
Right, exactly. So I got to ask Jody, I mean, because I think that if Cleveland was 100% healthy, they had a Kyrie Irving that was healthy and a Kevin Love that was healthy, I think, you know, you got to go with Cleveland to win this series. Do you think Cleveland would have won if they had those two?
Yeah, I honestly do. And, you know, and like I said, you know, being originally from Ohio and being a guy who's been in pain since 1964, since the last time the city of Cleveland has won any kind of title in their pro sports, you know, the Browns in 64.
Right.
I mean, you think, man, that's a man who's 51 years old, has never seen a title in that state.
Oh, boy. Well, I tell you what, I'm certainly rooting for you guys next year. Kevin Love, it looks like all indications point to signs that he will be with you guys next year. So, hey, maybe next year is it. But don't bury Cleveland just yet, though. I think this thing is going to a game 7. I think LeBron James is going to come back with a vengeance tomorrow night.
It'll probably go 7, but I just can't see them beating them in Golden State again. In Oakland with, you know, so much. Those cats are worn out.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
They're worn out. You know, you got Dellavedova who's not used to playing big minutes, and his coaches tell you guys are reserves for a reason and guys are starters for guys play big minutes for a reason, you know, and you got guys now playing big minutes that's not their role.
So true.
You know,
yep.
A Rocky movie, you know, it sounds great, and we want to see them, and, you know, we Delhi and all that, but through a 7-game series, you know, talent will win out.
That is very true. Healthy talent for sure. Hey, Jody, great call. Appreciate it, my man.
All right, take care, Al.
You too. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, I'll be chatting with Matt Charbonneau, Detroit News sports reporter. He'll break down this story concerning allegations centered on Michigan State softball coach Jackie Joseph. You don't want to miss that chat. We'll be right back in a flash. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Hey, folks, I'm pretty excited this week. Very, very excited because a man who, you know, I grew up listening to him. Many of you guys out there grew up listening to him. You guys know how big of a Detroit Pistons fan that I am. Okay, I popped out the womb probably with an Isaiah Thomas jersey, okay? his name is George Blaha. That's right. He is a play-by-play announcer for the Detroit Pistons, longtime play-by-play announcer right now, of course, with Fox Sports Detroit. You can hear puns such as count that baby in a foul, deuce, double deuce. I mean, you could go on and on. I mean, George Blaha is a broadcasting legend, okay, folks? He is also the voice of the Michigan State football team as well. So he's always busy. We've been trying to get him on the show for so long. Finally are going to steal a minute of his time or an hour of his time right now, folks. And, you know, he'll be with me, sitting down with me on Wednesday at 3 p.m. right here at the WKAR-TV studios. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience, all you got to do is simply go to WKAR.org and sign up online for free and just show up. Isaac, are you a George Blaha guy?
Yeah.
Love him. He's unbelievable, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we saw him at an MSU game this year, and I got the chance to talk to him. Super nice guy, too.
Very nice. One of the nicest guys you ever meet in this industry. So, again, yeah, George will be in the house this Wednesday at 3 p.m. Definitely looking forward to that one. All right, folks. Well, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. Now, Michigan State Police and Michigan State University officials are investigating allegations that a Spartan assistant softball coach twice intentionally hit a player with a pitch with the coach's permission after a player made derogatory comments about the program. That player is Alyssa McBride, senior outfielder, and she says that she was hit by two pitches during batting practice near the end of the year. She felt both pitches were aimed at her head, she said. One actually deeply bruised her left arm and the other struck her wrist. Of course, the investigation centers on MSU head softball coach Jackie Joseph, and Alyssa is alleging that she gave the orders to Jessica Bogracus, assistant coach on the program, to deliver those intentional hits. Let's invite now Matt Charbonneau, sports reporter for the Detroit News, to break this story down. He's actually the man who wrote this story. This is the story that I saw right after I got off the air on Friday's show. Matt, how you doing? And welcome to Current Sports.
Thanks for having me, Al. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks a lot for joining me today, Matt. Now, first off, I want you to break down this whole thing. First off, how did you come across this story? Did Alyssa reach out to you? How did this whole thing come about?
Yeah, I mean, essentially, basically did reach out to us, but you know, it's not one of those things that we go into lightly, certainly, when you're talking about the accusations here. That's why, you know, it's not just one person saying it. If you follow the story, I mean, we're talking to quite a few people involved in this, and it's, you know, it's a difficult thing to do. It's not something you certainly relish doing, but you know, that's how we kind of narrowly report on what's happening. I mean, obviously there's investigations with both police departments. You know, those reports have been filed with two prosecutors at this point in Ingham County and Isabella County, where Central Michigan is, where the first alleged incident happened. Mm-hmm. So that's why we kind of wanted to keep it narrow to that. Obviously, we've also had a lot of people supporting Coach Joseph and Coach Bogracus, which we've ran a lot of that too. So. It's tough to say where it's going to go. There's no guarantee there's going to be charges at this point, so that's kind of what we're waiting on now.
Exactly.
See where the prosecutors go with it.
Right. There is, you know, right now it's still a waiting game. Again, these are all, these are allegations right now that we have to still wait to see what sort of evidence comes out. Now, for our listeners out there that may have not heard about this story and don't know exactly what went down, allegedly, can you kind of take us through the timeline of events concerning your reporting on this story, Matt?
Yeah, it was basically according to what she told us, the last week of the season, they played, it was a Tuesday game at home against Notre Dame, and they got beat pretty badly, and she was asked to do an interview. And after the interview was done, the reporter was basically saying, hey, this is all off the record. I hear, tell me about what's really going on. And she basically said it's been bad. She wishes she would have went somewhere else because of all the losing. The next morning she was called in. She said she was called in the coach's office, asked if she said those things. She said she did. They asked if she wanted to play at Central Michigan that day. They were traveling to Central, and she said she did. So she took the trip, and that day in batting practice is when she got hit the first time. Now, on that trip back is when she spoke to another member of the team who said at that time they heard the coaches talking about hitting her. Mm-hmm. That's really the crux of the story right there. Now, late that week, they had a weekend series, closing out the regular season. And on the Sunday game, the final game, she was hit again in pregame batting practice. We had other players tell us they saw it. We had a parent of one of the other players tell us he cringed at it because no one seemed to do anything about it. Didn't go get her ice, didn't see if she was okay, nothing. So that's the basic, you know, timeline of things that she alleges and other people have kind of told us have happened. So that's what was being investigated by the state police and the university police. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Now, Matt, as you detail in your article, that parent happened to be Jim Gorenson, who is the father of redshirt sophomore pitcher Danny Gorenson. He said that he saw it happen at the season finale, as you just stated, and was quote-unquote stunned. Did he think it looked intentional?
Yeah, I don't think he said actually the word intentional. He said it looked to him like it was coming right at her head,
mm-hmm.
which kind of surprised him. And then he was as surprised or more so that there didn't seem to be much reaction afterwards, that no one went to help her or saw she was okay or bothered to do anything. That part he seemed to be really bothered about. So
mm-hmm.
that's, other players we talked to said they saw it happen, but then, they didn't really talk to her about it afterwards. They noticed it happened. They didn't recall that sort of thing happening very often, certainly over the years, or this year anyway. So that's basically the story there. And obviously, Coach Joseph has issued a statement through her attorney, obviously denying it. And I don't expect a whole lot more. Obviously, with a legal proceeding, there's not much most people can say at this point, mm-hmm. just because of that. So right now, it's kind of in the hands of the prosecutors as to whether or not they bring charges based on what they've been presented.
Yeah, certainly. And you talk about, because through your article as well, I mean, there's a picture of Alyssa's left forearm. I mean, what sort of injuries is she saying that she sustained, Matt?
That basically, it's basically a bad bruise. I mean, they went to the hospital afterward or the next morning, and so there were no broken bones or anything, but you could see the bruise. So certainly nothing, too dramatic or severe. But, when you start thinking about what possibly could have happened if she didn't get her arm up, that's, I guess, what most people would think, what could have been to be a lot worse than what actually did happen. So,
mm-hmm.
It's tough to too much speculation on this. We're not really in the business of speculating either. That's up to
exactly
the prosecutors at this point to decide, where they're going to go with it.
Yeah, certainly. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKRS Current Sports, we are talking with sports reporter for the Detroit News, Matt Charbonneau. Now, Matt, the player who is in within earshot of the conversation, apparently between Jackie Joseph and, again, Coach Bo Gracus, has she been backed up by anyone else? I know she spoke on the condition of anonymity as well.
Right, that team member, obviously told the story to us, told the same story to investigators, which, will be in that police report also, which we're still waiting to get.
Do you expect that today?
Hearing those exact words, there hasn't been anybody who said they heard those words. That person told somebody else after the fact that they had heard that.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought, wow, I can't believe it happened that she actually got hit then. So, in terms of actually hearing the conversation so far, that's the one person that says they heard the coaches talking about it. So obviously they're a central part of this and, a central part of the investigation for the police departments and the prosecutors.
When do you guys expect that report, Matt?
Well, hoping any day. Hopefully by tomorrow. We filed a request with the state police on Wednesday evening. Normally it's roughly a 5-day period that you would get something like that. So that's kind of what we're hoping. We're hoping to see it by then. You talk to people, in the department, all that, you have a pretty good idea of what you're going to read, but you still want to see it in black and white and everything that's included in there. So we're hoping by tomorrow. I mean, we'll have to wait and see how quickly we get it, though.
Now, Matt, I'm getting a few tweets here, also a few comments on my Facebook page. A question for you that seems to be echoed the same on both of these social media platforms. They want to know legally what sort of ramifications are we talking about? Again, I don't want to jump to any conclusions here, but legally, I mean, what sort of punishment could happen if this whole thing is true, which we don't want to jump and say is.
Right. Yeah. In terms of what a prosecutor might decide, it's, as you said, it's really difficult to try and speculate what they might or might not do. I mean, I wouldn't call myself a legal expert by any stretch. So to try and guess what they might possibly charge someone with something like this, I really don't know. I mean, I know the people want, that's the answer they're looking for, but I would hate to guess and be completely way off on what a prosecutor might or might not charge somebody with. So, you know, we've reached out to them too, and they haven't said much. I mean, they had just gotten it on Friday, so obviously they need a little time to look into it and what have you. So hopefully we'll be getting an idea pretty quick, but I would really, really hate to kind of speculate where it might go if they did decide to bring charges.
All right, Matt, before we get you out of here, I want to know when you first filed this article with the Detroit News and laying this whole thing out, I mean, what sort of feedback have you received from your readers? Has it been mostly positive, negative, or somewhere in the middle?
Well, it's hard to say there's a whole lot of positive that comes out of something like this.
Exactly.
But I understand what you're asking.
Right.
You know, I think most Michigan State people have taken the approach of, which I think most people would, if this is true, this is something you don't really want to tolerate. That said, you also want to be certain that it is, and that's why, you know, the police are certainly and the prosecutors are looking into it. So, I mean, that to me, that's been the bulk of the response. I mean, she certainly has her supporters as well, which we wrote a lot about that too. Current players, a lot of coaches out there. So there's a lot of support for Coach Joseph and Coach Magrakis too, which we want to have out there as well. So, you know, it's been varied, but most people are of the thought, if this is true, that's not something they really want to condone, but we'll have to wait and see at this point.
Yeah, it's just a waiting game right now. Matt Charbonneau, sports reporter for the Detroit News. Matt, thanks so much for taking the time out to join us here on the show.
You got it. Thanks, y'all.
All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, again, folks, we're still taking your calls. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll have weekend winners for you and also have a quick chat about the Tigers taking two of the three games against the Cleveland Indians over the weekend. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just finished up a chat with Matt Charbonneau of the Detroit News, discussing, of course, the story centered around MSU head coach Jackie Joseph and her assistant coach Jessica Bogracis. Really interesting stuff. Interesting stuff. Again, don't want to jump to any conclusions here. Again, because the police are still compiling its report. Michigan State is also conducting its own investigation. And, having stories like this, you know, come across our show that we've certainly engaged in discussions countless times about, you know, one of the big ones I remember, of course, that I always go back to is, of course, J.Rue Campbell. When J.Rue Campbell, quarterback for Cass Tech, was caught on camera body slamming a security guard, and he got into it with his then girlfriend fighting over a cell phone. I mean, I don't want to put anything out there or give my opinion on it before we know the facts. So let's make sure that we pump the brakes a little bit and make sure we get all the facts before we start compiling opinions, which I understand the public is automatically going to do that. So, but again, as this story continues within the next few days and we get more details about it, you better believe that we will engage in that dialogue, which you can still. I mean, not to seem as though you can't call in and give your thoughts on it. Again, we encourage that. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And really quickly, guys, before we get to weekend winners, to get away from, you know, the MSU softball talk really quickly here, I just saw a stat during that brief break that is absolutely insane. I don't know if you knew this, but looking at last night's NBA Finals, did you know LeBron James scored or assisted on 70 of the Cavs' 91 points last night?
I did.
That's crazy.
Yeah, a friend texted me that last night. And
what?
It's crazy. Is it that surprising, though, you know, with the way he's been playing?
I'm just trying
to say in terms of best finals performances, nobody, I feel like, in the finals has done less with or more with less.
Right. No, that's not debatable at all. I think that what LeBron James has done, I mean, he's turned his lemons into lemonade without a doubt. But, man, just think about that. It's mind-boggling. He scored or assisted on 70 of the Cavs' 91 points last night. That's wow. That's your are you kidding me stat of the day, folks. Okay, let's go to our phone lines right now. We've got Apachu on line one. Apachu, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
I'm doing good, man. I didn't know you was half Indian, man. I got connect, right?
we got a connection there, right? Yeah, I'm half Indian, man. My mom born and raised in Trinidad and Tobago. Shout out to TNT, man.
Hey, I want to comment on LeBron James. LeBron James is the greatest player I've ever seen. I've never seen any performance like this at any level of the NBA, man. It's just incredible. It's incredible. And the idea that they just said I'm the greatest player in the world, I think that was a strategic move. He said, give me the pressure, I'm going to take it on. You remember in the past, he would disappear. The last second shot, you couldn't find him. He didn't want to take it.
Right.
And here he is. He said, I'll take all the heat. The only chance I got is to direct attention against me.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to win game six, and I think they'll go to game seven. I had picked Golden State, but I thought Golden State would win in five. And here they are, man. It's amazing. It is truly amazing what he has done. I mean, you got his criticism, but, man, that guy's unbelievable. He had a triple-double at halftime, didn't he, yesterday?
I believe. Well, was it halftime, Isaac?
Believe so.
I believe, yeah. I mean, he's done that before. I mean, it's just unbelievable watching him, you know, just – and that's the thing. He affects the game in so many ways. I mean, he doesn't just score, but he gets his teammates involved. He's crashing the boards. I mean, he's unbelievable, Apachu.
He has every shot that any position has. He got the pull-up. He got dribble penetration. He'll run you down. He got a jump hook. You know, he got the step back. He got everything. He's a complete player, and he tees up. And, he gets some calls, you know, but Michael Jordan did too, you know. And, by the way, I think he's better than Michael Jordan, man.
Okay.
I don't make you mad.
Hold on, Apachu. Hold on now. Hold the phone, brother.
I said that to my wife, and I had to go to McDonald's for dinner, man.
Exactly. Yeah, she's not cooking that night, okay?
But
I do get where you're coming from, though, Apachu, because we haven't seen – I've never seen a freak of nature like LeBron. Physically, he's so big, he's so strong. And, again, you mentioned all the things that he can do. He virtually last night – played just about every position, and I like the banter. I don't know if you heard the banter between Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy, and Mark is like, you know, you can equate this to when Magic won his first championship when, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar got hurt, and Magic had to play all five positions, and Jeff is like, all right, hold on now. Hold
that was
on.
One game.
Look at
that
what
was one
look,
game.
Yeah, and look at what, you know, the competition that Magic was going against. I mean, he was going against like two or three Hall of Famers, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. I when I saw Shaq, 3 feet in, Shaq was unbelievable. For a man to be that big and have that kind of footwork, I thought he was just unbelievable. He couldn't shoot past 5 feet, but he didn't have to. His bread and butter was 3 feet in, man. That was another great player. He got the rings to show it, man. You know. But anyway, good show, man.
Hey, thanks a lot, Apachu, as always. Great call as always, my man. Again, 5 minutes left, folks. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. It is time to close out each and every Monday's edition of Current Sports like we always do, where we take a look at the weekend that was and bring to you our weekend winners.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
All right, folks, it is time for Weekend Winners, where we take a look at the weekend that was and bring to you who we thought were the top dogs. First off, I'm going to go non-sports here, Isaac, and I have to give a shout-out to, my esteemed esteemed co-worker team here at WKAR. WKAR actually took home, get this, three Emmys downtown Detroit at Motor City Casino. Last year, I mean, it was my first year actually being nominated for an Emmy, Isaac. And, man, the Emmys, they do it up. They do it up here in Michigan, man. They have a red carpet for you. You come through, you take pictures in front of a mural, you sit down, and you have just so much talent in the world of television broadcasting and broadcasting in general under one roof. But shout out, I want to give a special shout out to John Whiting, Luke Schwartzweller, who I used to work with here at WKAR. Luke is now in California trying to make his California dreams come true. And also Ken Meerly of WKAR. Ken won an Emmy for his set production of Off the Record. So I want to give a shout-out to those three individuals. And also my friends in the business who were nominated and won last night. Of course, Emerald Morrow, who I used to work with at Channel 6 News. She took home an Emmy as well. Tom Lydon, a friend who's now in Boston now, working out there as a sports reporter and anchor, but he won for his sports coverage at WXYZ in Detroit. Also, Ryan Slocum, who didn't win, but he was nominated. Just some incredible individuals downtown Detroit this year who took home Emmys and who were also nominated. So three Emmys for WKAR. It's pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool stuff. So I want to give those individuals their deserving shout out. And also the man who makes this whole engine run, Gary Reed, okay, the director of broadcasting here at WKAR. Gary, I tell you what, he's always pushing the envelope of where WKAR can go. And right now, I tell you what, we're reaching the stars, baby. So shout out to Gary Reed. Shout out to Gary Reed. Gotta love him. All right, Isaac.
All right. Well, first off, I gotta go with Fabricio Werdum, who beat Cain Velasquez for the second time in 5 years.
Isn't that crazy? And I called that, too. I actually hit on that on my Streak for Cash on Saturday night. But it wasn't that crazy?
I know. Oh. I mean, I'm not a huge UFC guy, but I know Cain Velasquez, and dang, that is a takedown. So,
yeah,
shout out to him. It's always amazing when you see, like, a top dog just fall like that.
Yeah, he's certainly a beast, isn't he? Also, looking over the weekend, I got to give this team a shout-out. Did you know this? The Buffalo Bills have sold more than 57,000 season tickets this offseason, surpassing a franchise record set in 1992. The team actually announced that this morning, Isaac. The Bills will cap season tickets at 60,000 and institute a waiting list if demanded tickets, if demand exceeds that number, I should say. Individual tickets are sold out for all home games except Buffalo's regular season finale against the New York Jets. So I think, you know, with the Bills hiring Rex Ryan, there's a lot of hoopla surrounded around the Bills, but that's pretty impressive stuff. Again, a franchise record. This surpasses a franchise record set in 1992. Hey, hats off to Rex Ryan, and they haven't even played a game yet this year.
Well, next up, I've got to go with this kid, Preston Morrison from TCU, pitched on 5 hits, 1 earned run against LSU. And you know, I'm a Cajun boy. I love LSU. So,
right.
But shout out to TCU. They really deserve that win. And this kid, I mean, he's fourth-year senior. He's on an academic, partial academic scholarship, not even an athletic. So talk about perseverance and just getting the job done. Good job to Preston Morrison.
Yeah, and last but not least, I got a shout-out, former Detroit Tigers pitcher Max Scherzer, who put the Milwaukee Brewers in his pocket. A one-hitter. Many people calling this actually the greatest start in Washington Nationals history. So shout out to Max Scherzer. It seems as though he's just getting better. 119 pitches thrown, walked one, with the only hit coming off a bloop single in the seventh. So Max Scherzer, man, I still wish he donned a Detroit Tigers jersey. All right, much thanks to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Big shout out to Matt Charbonneau of the Detroit News for joining me. Have a fantastic day, and be easy, people.